So as you know from listening to this podcast, I am passionate about living your faith out in the everyday, which is why when I was in college, I started West Coast Catholic, which is a Catholic lifestyle brand with a mission to help you experience a foretaste of heaven through modern, intentionally designed lifestyle products and prayer tools. Because the thing is, I really believe that infusing the faith into everyday items that we just use every day or that we're surrounded with in our home can help remind us of and draw us back into communion with God. So in the shop, you'll find everything from rosaries to home goods, apparel, jewelry, devotionals, and more. And everything's designed to help inspire and equip you to pursue a faith-filled life by bringing an essence of heaven into your everyday. So head on over to our website at westcoastcatholic.co and follow along on Instagram at westcoastcatholic. Hey, I'm your host, Mari Wagner, and you're listening to the Ever Be Podcast, where faith meets lifestyle. I'm so excited you're here. Whether you're a new listener or a longtime follower, I know there's something here for you. Pull up a chair and listen in for insightful, real-life conversations and actionable steps on how to claim the full life God created you for. If you're a woman desiring to live a Christ-centered life in today's modern world, then this is for you. Welcome to Ever Be. Welcome back to Ever Be, everybody. Today we have a friend, Emily Wilson, on the podcast today. I'm sure a lot of you know who she is and love her just as I do. So we're so excited to have you today, Emily. Welcome.
Thank you so much. It's great to talk with all of you out there, wherever you're listening, all over the world.
Can you tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do, even though I'm sure a lot of my listeners probably already know you in some form?
Yeah, it's a joy to be able to walk alongside women. So for many years, I've been in ministry with women, started as a high school teacher at an all-girls school. And the last 14 years has just been walking alongside women in ministry. The greatest joy of my life is listening to women and having women share their stories with me. So I'm a wife, I'm a mother to three little ones here in California. I was raised in Los Angeles. My husband is from the Netherlands. We dated long distance. Shout out to all you long distance gals and guys out there if you're listening. And it's just my joy to love the Lord and share that love of the Lord in hopes that other people will, you know, just come to know how much He loves them. That's the joy of my heart and my life.
Yeah, I feel like you know the feminine heart really well. Mm-hmm. And the Lord has given you grace to speak into the feminine heart in a really gentle and loving, but also firm way. Like, you're that big sister that's like, you need to know the truth, and I'm going to tell you the truth because you deserve it. And so we all need that. And I'm really excited for our conversation today because it's all about the theme of your new book, Sincerely Stoneheart. It's written in the theme of the Screwtape Letters, where Demon is writing to his little minions about how to attack and destroy women. How lovely.
Yes, right. It is lovely. It's very intense. But as we know, there's a spiritual reality happening in our lives today. And the devil wants to discourage us, steal, kill, and destroy. He wants that for all of us. And so that's where, my heart was born out of this book, in seeing women over these 14 years and them sharing their hearts with me, just dumping their hearts out on retreats and at events and all over the place about the ways the enemy wants to and does try to steal, kill, and destroy our hearts as women. So thanks for reading the book. I'm so grateful to be here to talk about it.
Yeah, totally. Let's just dive in. What inspired you to write Sincerely Stoneheart, and specifically in that format that it is written, the demon to demon letters format? How did writing it in that perspective, like, how did that reveal more to you about the spiritual battle that we're facing as women today?
Yeah, absolutely. So the thing about the Screwtape Letters, you don't have to have read the Screwtape Letters in order to read Sincerely Stoneheart. It's just the premise. And I walk you through the premise in the introduction. The Screwtape Letters really changed the way people see, in the sense of when C.S. Lewis wrote that, people read it and they thought, I have never thought about it this way. I have never thought about the very detail-oriented nature of the way that the devil is trying to pull me away from God. So for many years, dozens of years, people have been writing what I would call Screwtape sequels, their own take on this premise, out of their own lens, out of their own faith, out of their own life. And mine specifically was these 14 years of seeing how discouraged women are, how fearful women are, how sorrowful women are. We're so beautiful, made in the image and likeness of God. And I've walked with thousands of women for all these years, looking at their faces, thinking, oh my gosh, I wish you knew how loved you are. Why, like, how are women so discouraged? In the pandemic, I was sitting at home a lot. I was pregnant with my second son. And I really got to thinking, it really was born out of that. I really got to thinking, what is this all about? Like, why? And I knew, but when I started to unpack it this way, I thought, man, what if I just, you know, started writing down the lies that I've heard women believe for all these years? So I started writing them down, all these papers all over the place. And it just came to be. And I thought, man, I should just try my hand at writing it like that to see if that lights something up in my own heart. And, you know, and maybe reveal something for women about the truth.
Yeah.
So I started writing and writing and writing, and it changed my whole life seeing it in this way. I have never seen things more clearly ever in my whole entire life about the ways the devil hates us and wants us to live in fear and sorrow. And I hope that comes across in the book for women like you who read it, who think, oh my goodness, I have never even thought about this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think when you read it, a lot is revealed, and it makes sense because women are the crown of creation, the heart of the home. And if the evil one can destroy her and her identity and bring her down, I mean, there's such a ripple effect that happens from that. Like, the family is destroyed. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yes. So much is destroyed from that. So, yeah, so much is revealed and so important. Yes. From that book, what do you feel like some of the most common or subtle lies are that the enemy is speaking to women today?
That's a really good question. I think the one of the big ones, and social media comes to play, you know, in a big part in this, is that other women have so much more of a purpose than you. And that you, like all of these women, they were made to shine. They were made to, you know, make big waves in the world. And you are useless and dumb and have nothing to offer the world. I have heard this from so many women who think, God gave me nothing to share with the world. I don't have any gifts. Like, look at all these other women. And they're just so sorrowful. And they feel so broken about that. And life isn't about being like, oh, I'm so great, and God gave me so many gifts. It's good when we recognize what our gifts are and we can say those out loud. This is a charism, right? Or a gift God has given me. But the enemy wants women to believe, I have nothing to offer the world, because women were, each of us, a sister named Sister Faustina, she said it on a retreat once. She said, you reflect a piece of God's glory no one else ever will. And the Lord wants us to live like that. And the enemy wants us to say, I have nothing to offer the world, because what we have to offer the world is God's glory alive inside of us. And if the enemy can silence that or dampen that or destroy that altogether, what an accomplishment for him. What an accomplishment for him. So I feel like that is one of the subtleties of women thinking, man, oh man, everybody else has something to share. Not like share like we do online, but just like share your life and your family in the world. And I've got nothing, so that you don't share the glory God gave you with the world. Do you feel like, what do you feel like is the most subtle lie in your ministry with women that you see women believing and maybe living from a place of in their hearts and in their choices and in their lives?
Yeah. Honestly, that they're not enough. Mm. And I think that just, I mean, relates to what you're saying. You know, as women, like, we fall into comparison so often. So if we do see, you know, other women like that, we think, wow, they have all these gifts, they're doing all these things, and look at me here, you know, you fall into the, well, maybe I'm just not enough. Maybe I'm just not good enough. And I think another lie too is like that they can't hear God.
Good one.
And that in this beautiful ministry that we get to experience at Seek online through incredible women that we look up to in our spiritual journey, it's easy to look at them and be like, they hear God. They have all these insightful things to say. They have, you know, all these beautiful truths that God has revealed to them to speak to other women. And here I am, you know, as the listener, like, how do I hear God? I don't hear God. He might not be with me. And we know that that's not true. And we know that the Lord speaks to all of us in such different ways and reaches us in such different ways and uses different people to carry out his plan of salvation in different ways. Like we all make up the body of Christ. And there's that thing, right? Like the body needs both the hands and the feet and the head. We need all the parts, and they don't look alike. They don't all have the same mission, but without one, the body's incomplete.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's a big one. And I talk about that a lot in the book. And one of the biggest reasons why we think we can't hear God is because we have noise in our lives all the time. And I know you're listening out there. You are listening to this. And I pray that it edifies you and it encourages you and it supports you on your faith journey. But so often in our lives, we have needless noise, noise that we do not need, noise that does not edify us, noise that does not support positivity in our lives and encouragement. In the book, I talk about that lie, and it was so mind-boggling for me because I've been in that place, like you say, of I can't hear God. How do I hear him? Yet my life is filled with noise. And I say this line in the book, when most of the noise is silent, she won't realize how truly deafening it is. Because how often are we watching reels, right, with no sound on? How often are we like just like reading articles, reading news, reading all these things and ingesting all this noise just with our eyes? We're looking at all these videos and we're looking at all these things. No wonder we think we can't hear God. All of this stuff is cluttering our minds. So the lie that I can't hear God, if that's something you believe out there that Mari has, you know, talked about here, ask yourself, what am I doing to change that, if anything? What am I doing to try to hear God more? Am I even spending time in silence? Am I even going to the adoration chapel just to sit with the Lord for 15 minutes straight, not to look at anything, not to think about anything, but just to be? See what happens. You know, those lies when we say, I believe this lie. Okay, what are you doing about it? How are you fighting back against it? That lie is so prevalent. And I think it's such a good one to identify for women.
Yeah. And you mentioned that too, about how the enemy just wants women to be distracted, exhausted, confused, like bombarded. And I mean, everything you said, I think we all can relate to that. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy to think that what seems like should be a simple solution, silence, right? Do nothing. Consume nothing, hear not, just sit in the presence of God, is actually such a challenge and even like terrifying for some people to face. Because once we actually, I mean, I've experienced it in my own life, when we actually leave room for silence in a space where we feel like we're believing lies, like what are we going to hear? What's going to come up? What is going to be revealed in our hearts that we're going to have to face? That's a lot harder than being like, yeah, something doesn't feel good, but I'm just going to like numb it out with a doom scroll or binge watch or live through someone else vicariously because I'm trying to ignore everything going on in my own life. So from your advice, you know, and your heart that you see and love women with, how can we practically guard against that in our everyday lives?
Yeah. So in my house, we call it peace and quiet. One of my main priorities, I have a couple of really strong main priorities with my children. And I know some of your listeners are mothers and some of them are not, but with my own children, I prioritize peace and quiet, and I typically give them the option. Like if we're driving in the car, I'll say, do you want some music or do you want peace and quiet? And so many times they say, I want peace and quiet. Both of them, my boys are 6 and 4. And at home, if someone is, you know, wants to listen to music or whatever, and the other one says, I really want peace and quiet right now, that person takes precedence. We are like, peace and quiet is one of the most important things in our house. So if someone's heart desires that, they trump everything. They trump everybody who wants to listen to music or anything like that, because it's so important. So that's my question for women. And there's, you know, a lot of ways that people do this. Like Edith Stein says, the first hour of your morning belongs to God, right? And to center everything there. And before I had children, I could do that, which was such a beautiful thing, to give the first hour of my morning to God. I give it in a different way now by making cereal and cutting fruit and all those things, but in the peace and quiet way, you know? And so my question, you know, for women would be, how are you prioritizing peace and quiet in your life? And are you prioritizing it at all? And yes, like Mari said, it's uncomfortable feelings come up. And things you don't want to think about come up. In that peace and quiet, when those things come up, give it to the Lord right away. Lord Jesus, I didn't even want to think about this. And right now I'm going to give it to you. Instead of scrolling or eating or watching or whatever it is, Lord Jesus, when these things come up, make a very specific, pointed effort. When uncomfortable things come up, memories, whatever it is, it could be so many things, hand it over to him. Say, Jesus, I don't want to think about this. I'm going to give it to you, right? And let him, if you're continuing to think about it, let him be there as you think about these things and face these things in your life. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I love that piece of advice. I love the immediacy of it. Like as soon as we recognize that or a memory or a feeling that is not of God like comes up, give that to the Lord instead of letting it linger, because that's what the evil one wants to do is let it linger, let it fester, let it take root. And the more you think about it, the more you're like, maybe this is true. Maybe this is who I am. So that immediacy of like, oh, that's not the Lord's voice. I'm going to give it back. Mm-hmm. That's got to be way effective.
Yes. Immediacy. Immediately. And that's, you know, the whole premise of the book is wanting to fight back against the lies of the enemy immediately, right? And the lies of the enemy aren't always like memories that come up or things that we're struggling with. That's not always the case. But that immediacy of always going to the Lord is everything. In everything, yeah. my instant response, right? That's what the saints showed us so beautifully. And I think the saints had this internal position of in all things, right? Really believing that scripture, apart from him, I can do nothing. Really just being there in that instantaneous, give everything to Jesus. Invite Jesus into everything. Woo! That'll change your life.
That will change your life. I think some listeners may be hearing this section right now and just kind of wonder like, okay, I don't even know how to identify that though. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't even know. I can't do the immediate, you know, gift back to the Lord if I can't identify that. So how do we begin to recognize the voice of the enemy versus the voice of God, the voice of the Holy Spirit?
That's a great question. Well, I highly recommend reading Sincerely Stoneheart because when I wrote it in the way that the devil speaks to me and speaks to other women, oh man, I know so clearly now when that voice comes in, right? And I'm whatever, putting the baby to bed at night, and that voice that's so cutting and so awful says like, you're a horrible mother. You're a horrible mother. You know, I get tears in my eyes thinking about it, thinking about just all the lies that women believe in, that cutting voice that follows us all. Writing it out, right, and speaking it in the audiobook was a whole different thing. Speaking as the way the devil has spoken to women, like saying it all out loud was really insane. But when I wrote this and, you know, the process of that, it's like, oh, when that voice comes in, I'm like, I know that voice. It's not the voice of the Lord. Because, you know, you might have seen these graphs online that say like the voice of God is gentle and loving and kind and good. And the voice of the enemy is cutting and it's pressure filled. And it's, you know, it makes you feel anxiety, right? That's great. Those graphs are great. But until I can recognize that in my own heart to say, this voice that tells me I'm a bad mother, or this voice that tells me I'm a failure, or this voice that tells me I'm messing up everything, it's cutting and it's ugly and it's awful. And that's never the voice of God. So I'm so much better able to identify in those moments, right? When I hear those lies, I'm like, oh, this is not the voice of my father. Get behind me, Satan. I'm so much more inclined to know, like, oh, I know who this is. Like, it's not even a question anymore. After doing this, and that's what I hope for women, is that as they see how cutting and awful, conniving and subtle the voice of the enemy is, when that voice comes up, they say, I know the voice of my father, and this isn't it. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to listen. I'm not going to give in to your games. I'm not going to bow to the ways that you're trying to steal, kill, and destroy me. Get out of here. And then you proceed with life and love and joy and the hope that God wants for you. And not to make it sound easier than it is, but is this process of like, Lord, help me to identify this voice so I can live in the freedom that you made me for, you know?
Yeah. And I think the word cutting is so precise. Like when you said that, I was like, that's how it feels. And I think it does take listening to conversations like this, reading the book, just kind of being faced with the reality to recognize that, because sometimes it can be, at least in my experience, so disguised in my own voice, mm-hmm. where it's like this negative self-talk of, you're like, oh, you didn't do that very well. Oh, you definitely aren't good enough at this, or you should have tried harder, or X, Y, Z, you know, or yeah. you're not being a good wife, you're not being a good daughter, but all these things. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like yourself, and it sounds like, oh, I'm just trying to be better. And it's funny because there are times when, well, two things. One, I've come to notice, as you said, that word cutting, that's what it feels like. Mm-hmm. It's like a pierce. It's like a bad right. piercing.
Mm-hmm. Stab. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That feels so uncomfortable, and that hurt me. Mm-hmm. And then two, I think a gift of marriage too is, as you begin to get to know your spouse, they begin to know what that voice looks like for you as well. And so there's been several moments in the past, I mean, few months even, where I've been saying things out loud to Trey, and he's been like, stop, that is not the voice of God. And, you know, he has to be firm sometime and be like, mm-hmm. that is not true. Like, mm-hmm. we're not going to say that again. We're not going to believe that. And times when I've even asked him, I'm like, can you just pray for me? Because that seems true to me. Yeah. And when he's able to kind of say that to me and pray for me in those moments, that brings me out of that even more to recognize that those words were lies. He reminds me of my truth, which always brings me back to my identity. Mm-hmm. And that's something that you talk about a lot as well, is how, as women, we're God's beloved. Mm-hmm. That's our truest identity. Mm-hmm. And I think in the Catholic world, this term of God's beloved or daughter or daughterhood can be so light sometimes, because we hear it so often. It's like, what does it mean to be a daughter? Does it just mean to like wear a pretty dress and just like, you know, like love our femininity? But I feel like it's so much fiercer than that. Mm-hmm. So can you share some practical ways that we can root our identity in that truth every single day and be reminded about that every day, even when we don't feel like it?
Yeah. So the exploration of identity as beloved in the book started in the chapter looking at the keys. I think it's letter 3. And the Lord gave me this insane analogy. Many of you out there might have identified with this. You lose your car keys, right? And you're going to an appointment. You're going somewhere. You're going to this thing. You got to get to this party. And you cannot find your car keys. And has this happened to you ever, Mari?
the day I read that chapter, Emily, I ran late because I lost my car keys. And I was like, oh my gosh, Emily, it's like you're here.
Totally. So women listening out there, you're looking for your car keys and you're frantic and you're looking around everywhere and you're looking in your pockets, right? As a mom, I'm taking the kids to the park. You know, it's wintertime. You have your jackets. You're like, oh my gosh, are they in a pocket? Are they in the diaper bag? Are they in wherever they are? And you're frantically looking around everywhere thinking, oh my gosh, I'm going to miss the meeting. Oh my gosh, this is horrible. This is how the enemy wants us looking for our identity. This is how he wants us to be frantically searching high and low in every pocket, in everything. All of those things being analogies for where we look for identity in our appearances, in our accomplishments, in the life milestones we've achieved, right? All of these different places, the enemy wants us in this frantic, frenzied, anxious, stressful search for identity, our identity as beloved. And I'll spoil it because there's a lot of letters if you choose to read it. I say in that letter, the letters were in her back pocket the whole time, right? And if you're a person who wears glasses, you know, you're like looking everywhere for your glasses. And your glasses are on your head and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm such a dum-dum. All along, or this thing that you're looking for, it was in the most obvious place. We all know that feeling. That is our identity as beloved. It is in your back pocket. I could sob my eyes out thinking about how much I want women to believe this. Like you said, it can become a light thing, like, oh, I'm a daughter of God. Like, you know, it's like talks we used to hear when we were teenage girls, like, you're a princess, like, wave your wand high. And all the girls are, you know, who like, hey, that's sort of like, barf, I don't identify with this at all. And it becomes this cheesy thing, but man, it is the least cheesy thing in history. Is our belonging to the Lord, is our belonging in his family, is in the reality that we are beloved and we don't have to look a certain way to earn that. We don't have to achieve a life milestone to earn that. We don't have to do all the right things for God to say, yes, now you've earned it. Now you've done enough. Now you've done well. that's not the way that it is. In our life, we've so been conditioned to earn things. I talk in the book about report cards, right? And you have to get the right grades and do the right things. The Lord's like, you don't stop looking. Stop being so frantic. Stop being so frenzied. Would you just rest, right? The loving voice of the Lord, right? That convicts me sometimes and says, would you just rest in it? Would you just slow down and believe that the keys are here? Like, I'm here. Your belovedness cannot be changed, cannot be stripped away. And so for women really to start their believing, not in a cheesy way, it's already within me. I am already beloved. It's not something I'm going to find. It's not something that I'm going to earn. It's something God has given me. To ask the Lord to help you embrace that will change everything. At least it did for me. I don't know if you can speak to that yourself.
I really believe that our church needs faithful and well-formed leaders. So our sponsor, the Augustine Institute, offers master's degree in theology, pastoral theology, and Catholic education that I want to point you to. They are rooted in scripture and tradition, offered online, so it's easy to get this degree, or on campus if you want to be in person, or in a hybrid format if that's what works best for you. Here, you'll be equipped to teach, lead, and evangelize clearly and confidently. Augustine Institute graduates are leading today's church in parishes, dioceses, schools, and apostolates, and you could be next. So learn more and apply at augustine.edu. You know that feeling when you're standing in the grocery store aisle, staring at a label and thinking, wait, is sunflower lecithin bad now? How do I even pronounce that? And what even is natural flavoring? It's like every week there's a new list of ingredients to avoid, and trying to shop clean starts feeling like a full-time job. That's exactly why I love and switched to Thrive Market, my go-to online grocery store that delivers all my healthy essentials straight to my door. No guesswork, no grocery aisle stress, and no wondering if the food I'm feeding my family is actually good for us. With over 10,000 food additives allowed in the U.S. these days, it's seriously overwhelming to know what's actually safe. But Thrive Market bans over 1,000 harmful ingredients from their store, so everything on their site is already vetted. It's honestly like having a clean eating best friend who already did all the research for you. Plus, the actually healthy brands, the ones that are either impossible to find at the store or crazy overpriced, Thrive has them at the best prices. I always have a few things on rotation in my cart from them. Their ceremonial grade matcha, their organic coconut water, different high protein snacks, wild caught salmon, and of course, a few of the Hue chocolate bars for a little after dinner treat. So if you're ready to make the switch and take the stress out of clean grocery shopping, head to thrivemarket.com/everbe for 30% off your first order plus a free $60 gift.
Oh, absolutely. And I think the thing that helps me as I get older is going back to like a young version of myself, little Mari, like baby Mari, because as I grow older and, you know, the Lord, as we talked about gifts earlier, sometimes you recognize like, wow, look at all the gifts God's given me. I can do it myself. And you think that like you become self-reliant. You're like, I can do so much. I can do it myself. And we only go to God when we really need something. But what has really helped me go back to my daughterhood, my belovedness, and my need for my Father, and how my worth comes from my Father, not in what I can do or provide or perform, is going back to this like baby Mari self, because she needs her dad so much. And the image I have in my brain is this picture that my mom took of me and my dad when I was a newborn. It's one of my favorite photos I have of my childhood. My dad is lying in bed and I'm literally just a few days old, like curled up on his chest, and he's kissing my head. And I'm just like, that's daughterhood, like curled up on your father's chest, knowing you don't have anywhere to go but to be there and receive all he's providing for you, the safety, the love, the providence, like all the grace that God is always bestowing upon us. And he's just saying like, you just need me. You just need to be here with me. And like, I am giving you your daughterhood, your worth, your belovedness, and you don't need to find it anywhere else.
I love that. And I think sometimes it can be hard to believe in that belovedness for women whose fathers were awful. And whose fathers, you know, were really absent, non-existent. Their fathers who were cutting voices in their lives. And to those women who think like, man, it's so hard for me to accept that identity as beloved because I have no idea what the love of a good father looks like. really simple prayers each and every day. Say, Lord, teach me what the love of a good father looks like, right? Show me your love, heal my heart, let me embrace what true fatherhood was supposed to look like from you, Lord. And like ask for that every single day and let the Lord heal those places in your heart if you really struggle to believe that the love of a father can be good at all. He wants to heal that in your heart and he wants you, like Mari said, like he said, to be, you know, just curled up in his chest to teach you what that feels like and what that love that you should have received throughout your life is like from his heart in that most pointedly in that peace and quiet with him. There's a quote that I love that says, there is a peace that can be found only in listening to the quiet of God's love for you. And like the Lord's healing can come in that place.
I love how that includes the word quiet. Mm-hmm. Brings us back to the silence that we need to hear. Mm-hmm. I'm curious, Emily, was there a particular lie in the book that you personally wrestled with as you were writing it that you just felt like, dang, this is cutting me to the heart? How did God walk you through it?
Yes, that's a great question. And I might throw that question back to you after this, after I say mine. The heart, there are, so in the beginning, the book was a self-portrait of the ways the enemy worked on me. But as I started writing, it became a portrait of all, it's like a memoir of everything I've ever heard women share with me for the past 14 years. The one that is so closely related to the biggest struggle that I have in my life is letter 41. It's called The Empty Theater. And in it, I talk about could have, would have, should have, and how the enemy works on me and tries to steal, kill, and destroy my peace every day by having me look at the past and all the ways I've messed up and all the people I've let down and all the ways that I wish things had gone differently or things that I wish I had done differently. And like that, oh man, I cried so much writing that letter because the enemy wants me just stuck in the past, looking in the rearview mirror of life, thinking, man, oh man, I wish that had gone differently. I wish I made a different choice, whatever it is, just stuck there. And how many women can identify with that of being stuck in the past, right? You just can't let go of whatever it is, your boyfriend, your memories, your choices, whatever. And how the enemy just wants us there. Could have, would have, should have. You could have done this. You should have done this. Things would have been so different had you gone this way. And I talk about how my life has kind of felt in this way that the enemy works on me like I'm sitting in an empty theater. And across the screen, right, the movie of my life is playing and all of the things that I regret or wish had gone differently play all the time. And the enemy's there like, you're so stupid. Like, oh my goodness, look how you've messed up. Look, you let her down so much. You didn't do that. Like, look, you're such a failure. And it destroys me. And I think there are kind of two sides to the coin, women who struggle with living too much in the past and then women who worry constantly about the future. The enemy's like, go ahead. There's so many scary things. It's all going to be awful, right? And so I really think there are like two types of people in the world who struggle with these different things. But for me, man, identifying that now when that voice comes up, like, you're so dumb. You should have done, you know, that differently. I just say, get behind me, Satan. I ain't focusing on the past. I'm looking forward through the windshield rather than the rearview mirror, and it's going to change everything. On the other side of the coin, what would you say in the book was, or in your life even right now, if you can share in vulnerability with your listeners, the lie that you maybe have believed that was highlighted in the book or maybe not, a lie that you struggle or you're wrestling with in your life in this season here and now?
Yes, totally. I think for me, it's just this underlying lie of like, you have to earn God's love. And it's funny because with the formation I've received throughout my life and as a missionary, like in my head, I know, oh, I don't have to earn God's love. God loves me. But then in the depths of my heart and that cutting voice that comes in, somehow that's always how it's wrapped up to be like, oh, you should have done better because then, you know, God would have blessed you better. And it's kind of this connection between like the better you perform, the better blessings God gives you. It's almost like he gives you blessings according to how well you earned it. And that might come from being the eldest daughter, being a perfectionist, being a high achiever. You know, it's all like intricately like the Lord, not the Lord. I think the evil one even uses some strengths that we have to break us down and to kind of distort how God approaches us and views us. And that has been something that I've been wrestling with tremendously the past 3 years of, as we've tried to start a family mm-hmm. and have faced struggles we did not think we would face. And coming from, like, my story with the Lord was, like, we were always walking hand in hand. Like, we always had the same plan. And, like, you know, that was the college we wanted to go to. And that's where we went. And that's the man we wanted to marry. And that's who we married. And, you know, this is the job we wanted. So that's what we got. And so it was like, we're always working hand in hand. And I'm working for the Lord. And he's blessing me. And then, you know, one day it was like, I was still working for the Lord, but then this, like, one prayer of, like, wanting motherhood did not come to fruition and continued to not come to fruition. And all of a sudden I was like, does the Lord not trust me to be a mother? Like, am I not doing things good enough? You know, like, and I've spent my life, like, serving the Lord and, like, glorifying him. So, like, don't I deserve that? Like, we would be great parents, Lord, you know? And it's funny. I was with my sister-in-law at the zoo over Mother's Day. And we were seeing a ton of families, you know, around with their children. And sometimes you look at some that look a little, like, interesting and you're like, the Lord gave them children, you know, like, covered in tattoos and piercings head to toe. And you just kind of wonder, like, what is the history here? And like, and the Lord deemed them to be a mother, but not me. And so it's easy to kind of fall into that for me. Sometimes that's the lie. And I have to, that reframing of just like, the Lord is not conditional upon anything. His love is not conditional upon anything. He didn't bring you into existence because of how well he thought you would glorify him or how well he thought you would serve him. Because in fact, he knew you were human. He knew you would fall. Mm-hmm. And so if he thought you were going, like, he didn't bring you in because he thought you were going to be perfect. And so, yeah, just always going back to the Lord's love is unconditional. The Lord's love is always there and you don't have to do anything to earn it.
Yeah. I so appreciate your vulnerability about this, your openness about this, because I think that there's a lot of women, you know, and I know that you connect with them so beautifully, silently struggling with that or with unanswered prayers for the women out there who want to get married so badly. And they think, man, what did I miss? What did I do wrong? Lord, I thought you loved me. When the Lord really, and we have to go back to that very difficult, you know, to embrace sometimes reality that the Lord's love is not, it's in what he gives, but it is not based on what he gives, right? Like when you look at the prodigal son and he comes home, right, in life and all the things that he went and did and all that stuff, and I'm not comparing anybody who has desires of their heart to the prodigal son, understand what I'm saying. His desire, right, in all things was for the father, right? He wanted to just come back and be with the father. And it's this beautiful thing that the Lord has shown me, right, throughout the time of the prayers that I have prayed or whatever it is, that question of like, are you running back home to me or are you just running to me in general? Maybe not as a prodigal son after being with the pigs, but just running to me in general. And as you run to me, are you looking at me or are you looking over my shoulder at what you want me to give you, at what you hope is going to be there? If you love me fully, if you give of your heart fully, you know, I hear like the lie that drives me crazy for so many women. Like once you give your heart to the Lord fully, that's when he'll bring the right man for you. Like that's when you'll meet him. And I'm like, it's not true. We want the Lord, love the Lord with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. But it is not this bar that you meet. And then the Lord's like, yes. Now I'm going to send you this man. Now I will send you a child. Now I will do whatever it might be. These things are so hard to wrestle with. And I love your openness to sharing about, you know, just your journey and loving the Lord and having this deep desire in your heart and continuing to just glorify the Lord where he has you in the here and now. It's such a beautiful testament for women, your light and your love and your faith. So thank you for sharing that even in the midst of this struggle that you're facing in your life with your husband right now.
Yeah, totally. And I mean, something you said is what I've come back to a lot is like, do I love the Lord because of what he gives or because of who he is? And it's been refining for me. And I mean, I know that anybody who's gone through deep, deep suffering, while it's a mystery and confusing many times, if the Lord allows you to see purpose in it, you almost are grateful for it. Mm. You almost are grateful for it because you realize, I mean, I've realized like my relationship with God would not be what it is today. And I would not have grown the ways that I have if I had not faced this challenge. And so my trust is deepened and it is beautiful and it's still hard, you know, it's still hard. It still requires daily yes to the Lord, daily reminders that his love is unconditional and that I don't have to earn it. But thank you for recognizing that vulnerability. Before we wrap up, Emily, if your readers would walk away with one truth from this book, what would it be that you want them to know?
That God made you to live in freedom. And that's another thing that can become light. Like you could put that on a tote bag. God made you for freedom. But God like actually deeply wants you so surrendered in the everyday, so surrendered to where he's taking you, what he's doing, how he's moving, how he's loving, so that you can like live in this freedom from worry, from fear, from this discouragement. It's like a burden on your back, like you're carrying around a backpack full of bricks and trying to get through every day. No wonder you're exhausted. No wonder you're, you know, just so broken down. The Lord wants to like take every brick out of your back. You're a failure. You're all these lies that you believe day in and day out. He wants to take them all off your back so you can feel free to run and in the least cheesy way, spend your life like running the race, right? As St. Paul talks about running the race set before you in freedom so that you can inspire other women to do the same, to be like, man, she's so free. She's so at rest. She's so at peace. I want to be just like that. Like you talked about in the beginning of our time here together, it's a ripple effect that the enemy doesn't want women to have. So when women live in freedom, they give other women permission to do the same. And it's so powerful. God made you to be free. That stone rolled away. Jesus came out and you were free. And boy, oh boy, if we could live more like that's true every day, the world would be such a different place.
Amen. I mean, I know that in my own life that when I finally like lived in the Lord's way, and the way I described finding this freedom was that he allowed me to experience the most Mari version of myself. Like for the first time, I was like, I know exactly who I am. And I feel so free to be fully myself in every way. Yep. So that is something I want for all women as well. What a beautiful message. Thank you for spending time with us this morning and for writing this book that we know are going to bless so many people.
Thank you. It's such a gift. Yeah. If your readers want to walk alongside me in the audiobook, like I said, I read the whole thing out loud. If you're an audiobook listener, you can do that. And then there's a group discussion guide. I want to bring women together with this so we can like talk about these things. Women could talk about the lies they specifically believe. So that group discussion guide you can find on my website, emilywilsonministries.com. It's totally free and it goes alongside the book. So if you're doing a book study or a book club, or you just want to read with your best friend, just, you know, get the book, use those questions. And oh my gosh, you're going to be, I hear from women. They're like, we talked until 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, amazing. All the better. Life is short. Let's chat about real stuff, you know?
That is so good. Okay. So they can find the book in the discussion guide on your website.
Yes. You can find the book on Amazon, Barnes and Noble, wherever books are sold. You can get Sincerely Stoneheart on Amazon. You'll have the audiobook. And then yes, the discussion guide is free on my website, emilywilsonministries.com.
We'll make sure to link that in the show notes. And then if they want to hear more from you, where can they find you?
Yeah, I have a YouTube channel. You can also find me on Instagram sharing about life and its obstacles at EMWILSS. And hopefully in your nearest church, if you ever run into me, say hi. I love my ministry is for women. So many women come to me and they're like, I'm sorry if I'm bothering you. I'm like, you are not bothering me. I do this for you. My heart is
here.
Yes, I love love meeting you. So if you ever see me out and about, I would love to give you a hug and say hello. Thank you, Mari, for having me on, for sharing your heart today in our discussion. I'm so grateful for everything that you're doing for women and for the church.
Oh, thanks, Em. Awesome. Well, we'll catch you guys next Wednesday. Bye.
Do you feel like you've been wanting to live a cleaner lifestyle? Maybe you want to start switching out some of the products you use, but you don't know what brands to buy from or where to start. Or maybe you've already made the switch to clean products, but you feel like they're just not performing as well and not really getting the job done. Listen, when I started my clean living journey, it took me a while for me to find the brands that were truly clean and performed well. So, Let me save you all the time and research and share some advice. I started swapping out my personal care and beauty products that go on my skin because those were the type of products I was using every day, like makeup and skincare. But despite all the clean brands that are popping up, it was actually hard for me to find a brand that was both truly toxin-free and worked well. The brands I was using just didn't work great. The makeup wouldn't stay on very long, or the skincare wouldn't work really well for me, and I always wondered if clean beauty was real or just a scam. And then I found Crunchy, and I haven't looked back since. Crunchy is my favorite non-toxic beauty brand that is both clean and high-performing. So look no further, friend, because trust me, Crunchy is the best of the best. And if you use my link, you can get 10% off your first order. Just go to crunchy.com/Mari Wagner. That's crunchy with an I at the end. And use the code ADVOCATE10 at checkout. Or you can just click the link in the show notes on this episode and remember to apply the code ADVOCATE10 at checkout. If you need help shopping and want my personal recommendations, DM me the word clean on Instagram and I'll send you my top favorite products to start with. Thank you so much for listening in. If you've enjoyed this episode, please share it with your friends and on social media. And give me a 5-star rating on whatever podcast platform you're listening on. That helps me and the show out so much. Also, make sure to follow the podcast on Instagram at EverBePodcast. And if you want more content like this and you don't already follow me, you can also follow me on Instagram at mari.c.wagner. And may his praise ever be on our lips. God bless.